Turn to Proverbs 8:30. Proverbs 8:30. Wisdom says, "Then was I by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him." So now we're going to switch gears a little bit. We're still talking about the same thing. Wisdom is still speaking here, of course, as she has been for some time, talking about the creation of the earth. And now she says that she was by him, that is, when he was preparing the heavens, when there was no field yet, when there was no the highest part of the dust of the earth, when he established the clouds above, strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment, and prepared the foundations of the earth, and all these things, then was I by him. So wisdom is saying that she was by him from the beginning. She was by God when he created the heavens and the earth. By is an adverb, and it means at the side or edge of, in the vicinity of, near, close to, beside. So in other words, wisdom was near God. Like when somebody's by you, they're right at your side. Well, that's where wisdom was, right at God's side, near him, close to him. She was close beside God during the creation because God used his wisdom to found the earth. And of course, we've looked at this verse several times. Proverbs 3:19, "The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens." But then you have this one here. She says, as one brought up by, or brought up with him, then was I by him as one brought up with him. Now, this verse is not teaching that wisdom in Proverbs 8 is the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. People like to use this verse to say that. Just I told you about running into a guy just recently that was trying to make that claim. We already talked about that when I was commenting on Proverbs 8:22. This is not referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he is the wisdom of God, but this passage is referring to God's wisdom, which is manifest in Jesus Christ, the Word of God, creation, but it's not specifically referring to Jesus Christ at all. So it says, and we will further prove this with this very phrase, the very phrase that people use to try to say it's the Lord Jesus Christ will refute that position, and you'll see that here in just a second. So look very carefully at the words. Wisdom was as one brought up with God. To bring up is to bring into a higher position, to elevate, raise, rear, build up, to raise to a point or amount, etc. To rear from childhood, to educate, breed. Now notice that Proverbs 8:30 doesn't say that wisdom was brought up with God, but was as one brought up with him. You notice that? It doesn't say, then I was by him, and one brought up with him. I was brought up with him, or something. It doesn't say I was brought up with him. It says, I was as one brought up with him. Think about it. If wisdom was brought up with God, that demands that God was likewise brought up, right? If I said I was brought up with my brother, what does that mean? We were both brought up at the same time together, right? So if wisdom is saying that I was brought up with God, that's saying if she was brought up, and this is the Lord Jesus Christ, supposedly, then God was brought up. Well, there's a problem with that, because God is eternal, and therefore God was never brought up. Psalm 90 and verse 2. This is what you call a simile or a metaphor. I'm not sure which one it is. When you use words like and as, that's speaking in metaphorical language. Psalm 90 and verse 2. God was not brought up. It says, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever, thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." So no, God was never reared, he was never brought up, he was never raised up. He hasn't changed, period.
He was just as smart, just as wise, just as capable, whenever,
yep.
60 billion, 60 trillion years yep. ago as he is today.
Yep.
And that's how wisdom was similar to being brought up with him, because if he was just as wise then as he is now, wisdom had to be there
Mm-hmm. Wisdom was always...
Always
the
there.
Lord always Eternal. Possessed. Yep, the Lord always possessed wisdom.
Right.
If he didn't always possess wisdom, that means that he acquired it at some point,
which
means
be.
That he changed, and yes, he can't be, which I'll get into here in just a second. So if God's eternal and God was never brought up, then wisdom was always with God and was therefore, I'm sorry, I missed my point. Wisdom was never brought up either. If God was not brought up, wisdom was not brought up because she was as one that was brought up with him. Wisdom has always been with God and therefore is as one brought up with him. And what you were saying, Bev, if there was ever a time that God didn't possess wisdom, then that means that God acquired it at some point in time. But God cannot acquire any personal attribute because God's understanding is infinite, number one, Psalm 147 and verse 5. So you can't acquire intelligence or wisdom or understanding or any such thing. Psalm 147 and verse 5, great is the Lord and of great power, his understanding is infinite. Well, when you take, in math, if you take infinity and you add infinity to it, you know what you get?
Infinity.
If you take infinity and multiply it by infinity, you get infinity. If you take infinity and you raise it to infinity, you get infinity. If you take infinity and subtract infinity, you get infinity. Right? If his understanding is infinite, that means that he has it all that's possible, and that he could never have learned anything. He could have never acquired wisdom. He doesn't get any smarter as time goes on. Right? He's not like we are. And furthermore, God is unchanging. Because if he acquired wisdom or any other personal attribute, then he's changed. He's different than he was before. Well, God never changes. Malachi 3 and verse 6. Malachi 3 and verse 6. Last book of the Old Testament. It says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. The Lord doesn't change in his attributes. He doesn't change his mind. Because if he would have changed his mind, they would have been consumed. Because he was so fed up with them so many times that if he would have purposed to save them, and then if he was changeable, if he was mutable, and he turned and decided to do something else, he would have destroyed them. But he's not, and therefore they're not consumed.
It's a salvation for us that he changes not.
Yes.
Because we deserve to be consumed.
Yeah, that's right. Look at Psalm 102 in verse 27. Just another verse that tells us that the Lord does not change. Psalm 102:27, but thou art the same. Talks about how the earth is going to perish. It's going to be wax old like a garment. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. God never changes. This earth is wearing out. This earth is eventually going to be melted down and destroyed. But God never changes. And that's comforting. It's comforting to, like for instance, children in a house. If children know what to expect every day, and if there's structure in the house, and things don't change, and they never know what's going to happen next, right? Or if they're in that position where they never know what's going to happen next, they don't have comfort, right? So we like, in some ways, we like things that don't change. We like to have that foundation that we can always count on. And that's God. He doesn't change. His word doesn't change. The world changes, but human nature never changes. And the world thinks that the Bible's outdated and the Bible needs updated and the Bible is just this old antiquated Bronze Age book. And it's no longer true anymore, but that's fallacious. God and his word doesn't change. Human nature doesn't change. And I'm thankful for that because we have a firm foundation that we can count on. Look at James 1 and verse 17. James 1:17. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. No variableness, meaning he doesn't change. He's always the same. You know, it says in Hebrews, just over a page, Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus doesn't change either. So Proverbs 8:30 is using poetic language to describe the fact that God has always possessed wisdom, just like two twin boys who were brought up with each other have always been together. That's basically, it's the poetic, that's what it's saying there in poetry, basically, that wisdom was as one brought up with him. Just like I could say that I was brought up with my brother and the two of us were brought up together, and especially if we'd be twins, we were always together, we were growing up together, and it was as if that was what it was like with wisdom and God. She was as one brought up with him, like she was always with him from the very beginning. From as long as she can remember, she was always with God. God always possessed her. That's all it's saying. A lot of times these people come up with these convoluted doctrines, and the answer to it is just simply reading the text and just using the what is called the Holcomb's razor, which Holcomb's razor is basically just a way of saying that the simplest explanation is usually the best explanation. If you have two explanations and one is very simple and one is very complex and nuanced, chances are the simplest explanation is the truth. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard all these crazy ideas and, you know, trying to put modernism into the Bible and say how the Bible's referring to DNA or the Bible's referring to genetic engineering or this or that. And it's like, no, this is just read what it says. Compare scripture with scripture. It's not talking about any of that stuff. It's just something very plain and simple. But anyway. Then wisdom goes on to say, she says, I was daily his delight. So wisdom was daily God's delight. Daily means every day, day by day, often in a looser sense, constantly, always, or habitually. So she was always, continually, God's delight, always has been. Delight is the fact or condition of being delighted, pleasure, joy, or gratification felt in a high degree. Anything in which one takes delight, or which affords delight, an object of delight, a source of great pleasure or joy. So God has much pleasure and joy in possessing wisdom. And, you know, we should be able to understand that because we likewise do and should have a lot of pleasure and joy in possessing wisdom. Don't you feel good when you look back and you think, you know what, I made a good decision and it turned out well, and maybe it wasn't the easiest decision, but it was a good one. And now I feel good about myself. Versus, you look back and you think, man, that was a stupid decision. Why did I do that? That was so dumb. I should have known better. There's kind of two decisions like that that you regret. There's some decisions that you regret that you really could not have known. It would be impossible to have known. There's just things that are unknown. And I look back, I can think of decisions that I made in my life that didn't turn out all that well. But if I went back and put myself in the exact same spot that I was back then, I would have made the exact same decision. Because with what I knew at the time, that was the best decision to make. Like, I'll give you an example. When we bought that trailer up in Minnesota, in December of 2017, that was an excellent decision to make. We needed a place to live. We needed a bigger place to live. We needed a place that we could afford. We could afford it. We paid cash for it. It was 10 minutes away from our brethren's place where we met for Bible study, the people in the church that we spent the most time with. Everything about it just lined up. Everything was perfect. I had no idea that in a month things were going to blow up. I mean, I would have had no possible way of knowing that that was going to happen. No inkling, no suspicion, no nothing. Seemed like a great idea at the time. And if I had it to do over again, if you plop me back in December of 2019, I would have done the exact same thing again because I had no way of knowing what was going to happen.
You have to make the best decision you can with the knowledge you have right then.
Right, exactly. Now, that's a different story than other decisions. You look back and you think, oh, that was stupid. You know, I should have known that. I should have asked somebody. I should have thought about that. I should have, you know, given it more time or whatever.
So there's listen to my parents.
Right, yeah, exactly. So there's two different types of, you know, looking back and thinking, you know, it didn't turn out so well. One you had no control over and one you really could have. But anyway, my point is that we should understand why God takes pleasure in possessing wisdom, because we likewise do also. We have lots of joy in finding wisdom, which is found in the Word of God. Look at Psalm 1 and verse 2. I mean, I've got investments that I made in the past that looking back, some investments that I looked back and I thought that was stupid. You know, I didn't know enough of what I was doing to even do that. That was dumb. But then I've got other investments that I look back on that didn't turn out well in the short term. But I thought, if I was back in that same spot looking at the same things that I was looking at, I'd have made the same exact decision back then. And because you just go with what you know, and sometimes things don't turn out as you thought that they would. So anyway, Psalm 1 and verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Same word there. I was daily his delight. Wisdom was daily God's delight. Well, wisdom which is found in the Word of God should be our delight also. You ever read a Bible verse that just speaks to your soul and it gives you joy? Right? Or you ever read something that you didn't understand before and all of a sudden it just clicks? Or maybe you're reading in another passage and you see this other verse that explains it. Or you're listening to a sermon and the pastor explains it and gives you a couple of verses and you're like, oh, that's what that meant. I never knew that. And it brings you joy, right? We should understand how God feels. Look at Psalm 40 and verse 8. Psalm 40 and verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. We delight to do God's will. We delight in knowing God's will and his word. Likewise, God delights in wisdom. I'll give you one more. Psalm 119 and verse 24. Psalm 119 and verse 24. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. And then wisdom goes on to say, rejoicing always before him. So first she's saying that I was daily his delight. So God was delighting in wisdom. But then wisdom says, rejoicing always before him. So now she's rejoicing in God. God is delighted in her. She's rejoicing in him. They're both delighted in each other, in other words. We're told in Proverbs 8:17 that wisdom loves them that love her. And that would, of course, include God. Proverbs 8 and verse 17. I don't know if I said 19. I meant 17 if I did. It says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. So, you know, she loves God because God loves her. Wisdom is God's delight, and likewise, God is wisdom's source of rejoicing. She says that she was rejoicing always before him. To rejoice is to enjoy by possessing, to have full possession and use of a thing. It also means to gladden, to make joyful, exhilarate a person, his spirits, etc. That first definition there, I believe, is an old definition that we don't really use. We don't use it in that sense. But rejoice, like we think of it, is to make joyful, of course, to exhilarate. She says she was rejoicing always before him. Always is at every time, on every occasion, at all times, on all occasions, opposed to sometimes or occasionally. So wisdom was always rejoicing before, always joyful before God. And how could you help but be? Right? When we're in heaven, we're always going to be happy. When we see God's presence, it's never going to get old, it's never going to get boring, it's never going to be something doleful. It's always going to be joyful. And then she says she was rejoicing always before him. Before, when you're talking about motion, it's ahead, in advance, in front. When you're talking about position or direction, which is what it's talking about here, it's in front or in or on the anterior, which is the outside, or foreside. So, in other words, when she says, I was rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in front of him, she is his he is her object. She's right in front of him. So wisdom personified is continually in front of God, who has her undivided attention and brings her great joy. That's what she's saying there when she says she's rejoicing always before him. She rejoices in God because he is her source. And wisdom rejoiced in God at the beginning of the creation, just as did the angels, as she watched God create the heavens, the earth, and all life therein. We'll close with Job 38, verses 4 through 7. If there was ever a time when wisdom would have been rejoicing before him, it would have been during the creation when she is watching him use her to create. Job 38, 4 through 7. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the foundations thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? And here's the verse we want. When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. The sons of God there and morning stars are referring to the angels. When the angels watched God lay the foundation of the earth and do the whole creation, they shouted with joy. And likewise, wisdom was always before him, always rejoicing before him, as she was by him, as one brought up with him, as he was creating the universe. So that takes care of Proverbs 8 and verse 30. Just a quick note at the end of the sermon. The most important thing a believer in Jesus Christ can do is to be a member of one of God's true churches. If you're not already a member of one, go to pastorwagner.com/churches to see if there is a true church or other believers of like faith near you. That's pastorwagner.com/churches.